Everyone faces questions and decisions that require insight and answers as we move forward personally, professionally, and corporately in all areas of this thing we call life in America today. Hello, this is Joe Schofield, and I invite you to tune in every Monday evening from 6 to 7 p.m. as we talk together and hear from key leaders of all ages and backgrounds about your questions. Interesting, informative, intuitive, but always encouraging. Tune us in on BBS Radio Network.
Join Pastor Joe and co-hosts Ron Greer, Dr. Paul Hall, Stephanie Thayer, and Dr. Craig Thayer in Raising Expectations.
Hey, good evening, friends. Thanks for tuning in tonight to Raising Expectations, your show to encourage, strengthen, and draw you closer to the Lord, the source of every answer you'll ever need of anything you face in life. So tonight, we've got a great special guest with us. Once again, we're pleased to have with us Dr. Buckingham. And we're going to tell you very quickly for time tonight, you know who the team is pretty much. We're going to have a test on that. We're going to have a test next week, see if you can all pass who the team is. Starting on the West Coast, we have from the great city of, what is it, Steph?
Coloma.
Lompoc.
Okay, I said it right.
I failed the test right there, so don't feel bad next week, folks. All the way from Lompoc, I'm getting the brain, getting old. From Lompoc, California, is my longtime friend, Dr. Paul Hall. And he is a pastor, genius in the Word of God. More than that, he's a great-hearted guy who gives the Scripture truth and meaning where we live each and every day. And you don't find anybody any better in the Word of God than Dr. Paul Hall in Lompoc, California.
There you go.
Thanks, brother. Then moving back across the United States of America to the East Coast, we have quickly our two favorite people in the East, Southeast part of the East Coast. That would be the Thayers, and that's Steph and Dr. Craig Thayer, and you know them very well. Steph is the founder, director, and CEO of Quenching Well, who helps you with your health, helps you to know who you are and what you should be eating, how to get your health in order. But she does that so well because she walks with the Lord Jesus Christ and gives you an insight into learning who you are in Christ and what he can do in your life. And her husband's just a spectacular surgeon. He is a surgeon, a trauma surgeon. He's the guy that we love and appreciate so much. And as you well know, when I get there, I'm calling on him if I got a need there. This is Dr. Craig Thayer. They live near in South Carolina. Actually, it's Georgia, near South Carolina. And we've got people dinging and checking in on the show tonight. I'm glad you're coming in, folks. So we're glad that they're there. Now let's move it back to the great state of Texas, which is Central America, to our favorite pastor in the state of Texas. You will find Ron Greer. Ron is one of those guys you can't believe. Another great man of faith. He's a pastor. He's been a minister. He's with Man in the Mirror. He helps disciple men. Ron is a guy who can ease your heart, help you to grow and draw you close to Jesus. He's a guy that we've grown to love. He's our brother in the Lord. Man, we just love you, Ron. Thanks for being there. And he's got the best looking bookcase on the show. But other than that, as we look at all that, there you go. Really good. Let's go to our speaker, our guest tonight, who's going to open up and share a little bit about the topic that he's into tonight on free radical living, how you do that and what it means to you. And the guys were so excited you were coming. He is coming to us from Southern California, from Ojai, Dr. Robert Buckingham. He is a well-known teacher, leader, and most of all, doctor in the field, I think, of everything that has to do with pulmonary things in you. He's a Nobel Peace nominee. His books are outstanding. I'm not going to take time to go through them. Look on the website because I've got them up for you so you can see them. And he's going to share with us tonight what's near to his heart, helping us to be healthier by knowing how we work. And then once we know how we work, you can go see Steph and Tank, and they'll tell you what you should eat and how to keep going on that one. So we'd like to give a round of applause starting on the left side, I believe it is. Your left, my right. Let's welcome again Dr. Robert Buckingham from Ojai, California, our friend and yours. Welcome to Raising Expectations.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Good to see you, sir.
Thank you.
Tell us a little about that title, and we're just going to let you go.
Well, so when we talk about free radicals, we're just talking about things that get released into our bloodstream that don't belong there, or things that get released into our bloodstream that overwhelm normal cyclic balances. So that can come from the air. That can come from what we eat or what we digest. It can come through the skin. It can even come through our emotions, how we react and respond to things. It can come through our sleep and how we sleep, the quality of our sleep. It can come through a variety of different channels. So free radicals are things that we want to take notice of, because if we don't, and we let them fester in our interstitial spaces, that will lead to what we call chronic inflammation. And chronic inflammation is a harbinger of diseases that we all know very well.
There you go.
Thank you. So, Doc, when you say chronic inflammation, for the layman of us, what exactly is inflamed? What are we talking about by chronic inflammation?
Is an interchange between these free radicals that fester and pester an interstitial space, and the progressively ineffective immune response that is pushed against them that will not eliminate them. That's called chronic inflammation. When the immune system becomes incapable of timely removing these inflammatory free radicals.
So the body works to eliminate them, or it doesn't? Then we have to have something else to help reduce.
So when you're in what I call rhythm, when you're in an anti-inflammatory rhythm, the body, particularly the endothelial cell, which these cells are the innermost lining of all of your arteries in your body. These cells are pacing, stemming, and backwashing a dance step rhythm, which funnels immune remnants or immune cells into interstitial spaces, eliminates the free radical, degrades it, and then produces another dance step, which causes whatever those remnants are to fall back into the central circulation, which then immune boosts what's immune circulating. Does that make sense?
A little bit.
You get the right.
So this is microscopic sort of atomic sized things that impact. Let's see. How can I say? So it accelerates things like cancer.
What happens with this sort of thing is that when the capillaries are dancing, when they're in rhythm, right, when they're getting rid of these free radicals and they're multi-purposing the interstitial space,
right,
they're simultaneously through this rhythm refurbishing their infrastructure and keeping the cells that are anti-inflammatory refreshed. That includes the anti-inflammatory cells in the interstitial space and the end organ cell that it's tied to. What that means then is that if there happens to be a cancer cell that breaks away, or there's a bacteria or virus that gets into that space, or an immunoglobulin that's misfired, it's much more likely that those cells, infectious agents, or whatever else is there, they're going to be recognized and they're going to be eliminated, because your cells have a robust immune system that is integrating anti-inflammatory rhythms.
All right.
Something the way God made us, huh? Amen. It's a mess.
So kind of a logistics way, I guess, looking at that is free radicals are like rockets that are hitting the wall of your capillaries. And then your body's got to spend time repairing those walls so that they don't leak. And you do a bunch of other things. and your immune system is part of that. So it's tied up trying to fight these. And if it's overwhelmed by free radicals, then it can't take care of the other things, like cancer cells or bacteria. Or
so your point's well taken. Now, free radicals can rocket their way into membrane surfaces, like the basement membrane of endothelial cells. They can also be something like carbon monoxide that gets into cells and interferes with mitochondrial combustion. They can be other free radicals that attach to and involve other membrane surfaces. So there are a lot of free radicals can do different things. But the fact of the matter is, if our immune system is happy and we're in a rhythm, an anti-inflammatory rhythm, these free radicals are taken care of and removed, degraded, and actually been, as part of their degradation, become participants in the dance step rhythm.
Oh, that's something.
So the body in its proper rhythm, is it eliminating the free radicals or keeping them sort of in check?
They eliminate them, they degrade them, and actually make them participants through what they've degraded as part of the rhythm, the anti-inflammatory rhythm.
Okay, all right.
So how do you do that?
In other words, God made us in such a way that everything that comes at us, if it's part of the counterbalance, it's going to be used in ways and means that are going to help us.
Sure. Mm-hmm. So is there a way of eliminating the free radicals? Let me answer this way: is there a way that we can sort of help our body eliminate them, the free radicals?
Excellent question. Okay. Not only do we have to help our body limit them, but as we get older, we have to do an even better job of it because of the fact that our dance step rhythm becomes compromised to some degree. Right. As our DNA becomes aged or cross-linked, it becomes code silenced. Right. And it doesn't refurbish our infrastructure within our cells as aptly as it once did. So as we get older, we have to err on the side of allowing fewer free radicals into our interstitial spaces. Okay. That means that things like stuff that we eat, refined sugars, saturated fats.
Would smoking and tobacco come into play there also?
That kind of thing 16 also? Free radicals that come from tobacco smoke. Okay. Some of the intermediates come from drug use and abuse, like amphetamines and opioids and a host of others. Even the cortisol and the catecholamines that are released when we're sleep deprived or stressed out. Even those things can participate because they increase insulin resistance, increase LDL cholesterol, increase non-HDL. All of these things then co-aggravate the interstitial space.
Okay. So they're actually damaging at the cellular level. This would be even sort of damaging or changing the sort of DNA inside the body.
And so what happens when we get out of rhythm is that, and particularly in our capillary cells, is that the energy combustion cycle is over-exaggerated compared to the nitric oxide combustion cycle.
Right.
Energy, increased energy increases what's called reactive oxygen species, which is a free radical. Now, in a perfect dance step, that reaction oxygen species has a cause and effect before it's degraded. It actually participates in the rhythm. But when there is too much free radical, too much energy combustion creates too much reactive oxygen species, and that reactive oxygen species does not get degraded timely, and instead becomes a free radical of itself, which then will cross-link DNA, for example, our nuclear chromatin. And as that nuclear chromatin becomes cross-linked, it does not necessarily get rid of that cross-linkage. It becomes then increasingly code-silenced, which means that the DNA is less capable of refurbishing the cell.
Mm. Wow.
Okay. Wow. Yeah, so the DNA is bound in the helix, right? So when it gets locked, it can't unwind.
Right. Okay.
Some huge, incredible RPM, which you think you hear in your ear, to then, you know, transcribe it and then produce other proteins. So it locks that up and it prevents you from
being. That's an excellent explanation. The two examples that you've given are superb, because that's exactly what it is. The energy combustion cycle, when there's too many free radicals, not only does it lock up energy combustion so that there's not enough nitric oxide combustion, but this whole process then funnels increasingly ineffective immune remnants into the interstitial space, which then become conducive towards conforming to chronic inflammatory rhythms.
So that, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Sorry.
That becomes the forerunner to disease consorts, like cancer cells being let free or let loose, or bacteria beginning to roam interstitial spaces, or viruses beginning having their free will or free way. They're not being taken out. They're not being surveyed. They're not being eliminated, because the immune system has been snarled up.
Mm. Boy. I've just got a picture in my head all of a sudden. Right. So I'm a motorhead. So my car is now running too lean. So the gasoline isn't burning completely. So it's damaging the pistons. And as it gets pushed out, it's going in between the pistons and the wall, contaminating the oil, which causes corrosion inside the engine, but it also is going out, burning up my catalytic converter. So all sorts of things are going crazy because...
And your valves.
The valves are getting
stiff, right. And they corrode and then they're done.
Yeah. See, I knew that sounded familiar. I got it.
Brilliant. That's brilliant. That's exactly what's going on.
Yeah, I remember my dad had a big old Caprice, a big old Chevy Caprice. Remember those big boats? And he used to go boop, 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 and it would run. It was rough and everything else. It didn't dance at all. But he'd go out on the freeway with him. We'd take a two-hour ride, and we came back. It was smooth as that. He said, we're just blowing out everything out the tailpipe. It's all changing.
We're all the free radicals. Blow it all out.
That's exactly right.
That's the Chevron gas, isn't it? It's like the...
When you're in a perfect dance step rhythm, free radicals are eliminated. The capillary cell goes, permeability goes back, and outer membrane permeability goes back and forth. And as it does, it takes with it the mitochondrial combustion, which goes back and forth from energy to nitric oxide. Nitric oxide combustion basically refurbishes the cell. It rejuvenates it. So when I write books called Rejuvenation, I'm actually talking about restoring the capillary and endothelial cells' capacity to make nitric oxide gas.
So, Doc, then if as we're growing older, as I understand it, so our system is less efficient at repairing and so forth. So it becomes much more important at an older age to eliminate the free radicals, or am I stretching that?
You are exactly right. So just like with an old car, you have to make sure that the oil is changed. You have to be very disciplined about how you manage the hygiene of the motor.
Right. Okay.
When we get older, we have to be increasingly more disciplined about how we manage our free radicals. Because if we allow the same volume or diversity of free radicals to roam our interstitial spaces as we did when we were 20 or 25 or 30, that is not going to work well as we approach our 50s, 60s, and 70s. We have to mitigate and compensate for the fact that our cells are not as efficient.
Ron?
Go ahead, buddy.
Go ahead, brother.
So at 65, at 55, what am I doing, or what should I be doing and intaking to help repair the system, or help sort of restore the reparative process there?
So that's a very good question. For some people, it should start earlier. Right, some people really got themselves messed up way before the age of 50. Right. So when I talk about restoring anti-inflammatory rhythms, this is something that I recommend that you start learning about way, way earlier in life so that you don't have to deal with emergencies. But let's say you're 50 and you've or 55 and you really haven't paid much attention to this whole process and you're still about 30 pounds overweight and your blood pressure's creeping up and you're pre-diabetic, et cetera, et cetera. That's called a red alert.
Yeah.
And what you have to do is develop anti-inflammatory rhythms within your life. And I'm going to summarize them right now because this has actually been proven. The best time to go to bed is 10 p.m. at night. The best time to get up is 5:30 to 6 in the morning. Hopefully continuously sleeping during that time. The best time to exercise is first thing in the morning, usually between 6 and 8 o'clock or 8:30 in the morning, before you've had breakfast. If you're overweight, and of course, if you're not a diabetic and you're overweight, you should skip breakfast altogether and have a 12 noon lunch and a 6 p.m. dinner, followed by an 18-hour fast the next day. Now, if you're not overweight, or you're underweight, you don't want to skip breakfast. You want to eat breakfast, eat the 12 noon lunch, and eat the 6 p.m. dinner. Those meals should be predominantly absent, refined, highly processed foods and carbohydrates and sugars. Those foods should be completely removed. Things like potato chips, Fritos, fruit cocktail, all that kind of stuff needs to go. Desserts, anything with fructose corn syrup in it, any type of soft drink, any type of fruit juice, like, apple juice or, you know what I'm talking about. Those fruit juices, those have to go. All of the highly processed red meats and organ meats should be gone, including things like hot dogs and Frankfurt. Now, look, if you have one at a ball game, that's not going to be at the end of the world. But I'm talking about the regular use of this stuff. They should be substituted for, and this is what you should be eating, cruciferous vegetables, mixed nuts, beans of various kinds, and I like the French lentils, wild-caught fish, or free-range chicken, and sweet potatoes. If you're going to eat fruit, I prefer berries. Two servings of berries a day, blueberries, strawberries, raspberries, blackberries, boysenberries. All of those berries are excellent. And you're going to stay away from everything else.
Would that include, like, I don't know, something like frozen yogurt or...
Or
Andy's custard? I mean...
You're bringing up some really good stuff. So in all of my books, I talk about sugar and the subliminal craving that all types of sugar cause.
Subliminal? There's more than that.
If you eat a sugar, not only does it not decrease your satiety, but it also increases your desire for more sugar. So, for example, if you eat yogurt, even if it's fresh, raw yogurt, you're still getting 19 grams of lactose, which is a simple sugar. Those 19 grams of lactose will subliminally stimulate your desire for more sugar for the next 4 to 6 hours as it increases insulin resistance. So to answer your question, if you're talking about dairy products, they really should be restricted because of the lactose content. By the way, as we get older, more and more of us become increasingly lactose intolerant. So I tell all of my patients who might be having some bowel gas problems or abdominal pain or maybe even a little diarrhea, Check into that lactose that you're eating. Check into the gluten that you might be eating. Those two substances oftentimes are found both in refined white flour and in the dairy products. These two products, and oftentimes, not only do they potentially increase the risk for what I call the wheat belly, but they also may increase the risk for abdominal pain, abdominal gas, and diarrhea.
Hmm. How about your recommendation?
Sound like my doctor.
Yes, you do.
Consistent.
Recommendations on supplements, nutrients, and probiotics.
Yeah.
So I recommend, I don't like to extend the big list here for more than six or seven. I recommend a good magnesium tablet, as magnesium transports ATP, which is a negatively charged molecule, out of mitochondria safely. So it stabilizes membranes and helps transport ATP out of the mitochondria. I like magnesium. It really helps treat leg cramps and reduces cardiac rhythm disturbances. So magnesium, 400 milligrams a day, if you don't have renal disease, is a great supplement. Vitamin D, usually as we get older, we need a little more of it, but anywhere from 1 to 2 to 3,000 international units a day, checking vitamin D levels about once a year is a good idea. But vitamin D is an excellent, excellent supplement that should not be ignored. If you're on a statin, you should be taking coenzyme Q10, 200 milligrams a day. Coenzyme Q10 decreases as we get older. It's an important contributor to mitochondrial function. And as we get older, the levels decrease. And if you take a statin, they decrease dramatically. So coenzyme Q10 is important. Lastly, I believe in a B complex. All the B vitamins are important in mitochondrial function, both on the nitric oxide and energy combustion side. So they help improve the efficiency of mitochondrial combustion in all of your cells. So I recommend a good B complex vitamin. And that's really the four major supplements. Now, the three naturopathic substance I recommend are the following. Garlic, which can be in the form of a capsule, chive, or sprout, about 500 milligrams a day. Turmeric, which can be a root. It can be, you can buy it in a store as a powder or as a root or in a capsule. 500 milligrams or so, 500 to 750 milligrams a day is also important. And last but not least, ginger, which is great for digestion. It's great for the lungs. 500 milligrams to 750 milligrams a day. It's the ginger root, which you can also get as a powder or in a capsule, 500 to 750 milligrams a day. So those are the three herbs that I recommend, and of course the four supplements I recommend. Those are pretty much universal.
So a quick question on the vitamins, A and E, any benefit there, or should I just kind of lay off those now?
So the B complex is something I recommend. So those are all your B vitamins in one tablet.
I'm sorry, I meant E as in Edward.
Vitamin E. So vitamin E, I usually have to have a conversation with patients about vitamin E, because everything on the shelf is only alpha vitamin E. And unfortunately, the immune benefits of vitamin E are in the delta and gamma variety, which you don't get in the supplements over the counter. So I don't necessarily recommend vitamin E currently, unless you have a talk with me. Vitamin A is something which can get can become toxic if we get too much of it. It can inflame the liver. Whoa. And if you follow my instructions about the cruciferous vegetables being the mainstay of your diet, there's a lot of vitamin A in most of those.
Okay.
And my recommendation is just to get the support you need from from whole food rather than in a supplement.
All right. Okay. All right.
Huh. One of my mnemonics is DEEK, D-E-A-N-K are fat soluble. So you can retain those. Well, the other ones are water soluble. So you'll pee those out. So those ones you can overdose on. So that's what I think Dr. Bickham is saying.
Yeah. Especially vitamin A. Vitamin E is very tricky. What needs to be done with vitamin E is some studies with the delta and gamma forms of vitamin E, because I believe those are the most immune enhancing of the vitamin E triangle. Now, there's one other supplement that I sometimes recommend to women who are more prone to becoming osteopenic or osteoporotic, and that is vitamin K2. Vitamin K2 is a supplement that, if you read it in my books, when coupled with vitamin D, it tends to take the calcium that is being absorbed and putting it in the right place, which is in bones, as opposed to allowing it to get into endothelial cell membranes. So vitamin K2 can be a useful supplement to help stave off let's say osteoporosis or bone thinning.
I'm sorry, still writing. Sorry.
that's great. Paul. Hey, those of you that are tuning in too, I can see it's live right now. One thing I forgot to tell you about Paul, he was the most famous note taker in all of the university when we went to school. So he got drafted because he takes notes. And again, that's going to come out in his book. That's coming. You know about that later. And Doc will be in there in two or three chapters. He's writing about Doc right now. It'll be in there. So, you know, just in case you wondered that. Paul, did you have a thought or question you wanted to bring in? Ron, those are great.
Damn. Gosh, you know, Dr. Buckingham, what a joy to have you. And
thank you so much.
It's a real pleasure. It can be, if not broken down, it can be so overwhelming, you know, so challenging, confusing. I'm on a particular regimen because of a heart attack 5 years ago, and my cardiologist has me on a regimen that I follow. But your information was, like, you know, really good. And I just want to take a quick note here. This discussion reminds me of when Charlie Brown, Linus, and Lucy are on the hilltop, and Charlie says, "What do you see in the clouds?" And Linus says, "I see Moses, a great lawgiver, standing with the tablets. It's wonderful, you know." And said, "And Lucy, what do you see?" And Lucy said, "Well, I see Noah building this ark and all these animals, you know, coming into it. It's wonderful." He said, "That's great. And how about you, Charlie Brown? What do you see?" He says, "Well, I was going to say a horsey and a ducky, but I've changed my mind." You know, so when we hear conversations like this, I think there's a tendency for people, especially when you've had a trauma, you pay attention. When you've had an incident, you want to make those changes. Right. For the people who are just out there, you know, dancing, you know, doing this other dance, and you try to communicate to them healthy eating and good diet and exercise, it's a real task, almost like sharing the gospel sometimes. I mean, this is all good news. And why wouldn't you want to listen and embrace this? I mean, this just makes good sense.
So here's the thing that, boy, I'm listening to you loud and clear. And there are two things that come to mind when you hear these messages. They're very obvious, but yet getting people to actually get the amount of discipline to get it done, it can be daunting. So there are two things which I want to talk about now. Good. One is our relationship with Christ. If we're in a counterbalanced relationship with our Lord, where we have rhythm with Him,
amen.
It makes these rhythms I'm talking about a little bit easier to let's say execute, because His rhythm is going to be more or less consistent with these rhythms I'm talking about. The second thing that's important is what you guys are doing right now. You're fellowshipping with one another. You're having social engagement, and you're reciprocating this love of God to with each other. That kind of interaction also fosters a resilience towards these rhythms. It creates incentive and momentum to pursue and to execute those rhythms, because they're all fall in line with them. So Christian social engagement, by the way, a loving and caring relationship with another individual is also very important. That tends to create additional momentum towards being able to execute this discipline.
Amen. Amen. Well put. Boy, hey, we got just a word for you coming up here. We have a very special person, Doc, who handles this for us. You know her. She's married to the doctor. And Stephanie's going to have a quick word. And Doc, we're glad you're here to see the first one. That's great.
I think I've been elected to this because I am not a pastor by trade. So I have not asked. Actually, that's not true. I'm pretty good at fundraising. I've asked for money, but it's around like kids' sports events, things like that. So we're so glad that you are here. And I wanted to let you know, we are live on a lot of platforms. Actually, when you asked me about Lompoc, I was sharing that we were live on Facebook. So I apologize. We're live on Facebook. We're live on LinkedIn. We're live on YouTube. You can also find us at bbsradio.com/ Raising Expectations. You can watch us live. You can see all of the prior shows. There's great content in there. You can also learn about each co-host and the different things that we do. We've all have our hands in lots of different things. And you can donate to us. It takes money to be on the radio and live and everywhere. So you see there's that little donate button there. That's at bbsradio.com/ Raising Expectations. We're also going to start doing some short advertisements. So if you are a ministry, a business, something you're interested in, you can reach out to Joe. Contact information is in there and you are more than welcome. He loves feedback. He gets a lot of feedback. So we appreciate that. And I'm done with my shtick, but I wanted to say what Dr. Buckingham was saying about the how to make this happen, right? Everybody knows you should be healthy. Everybody knows you should have less sugar. It's actually the most addictive substance on the planet. Most people don't realize that. But little steps, little baby steps, and who you surround yourself, your fellowship, it does matter. Like, for example, we live in the South now. We get every 2 weeks a produce box from a local farm. You can find them. They're called CSA, crop share agreements, right? So you can just Google that. It's a fraction of what you would normally pay at the grocery store. Also at the farmer's market, it's usually organic, even though sometimes it's not labeled because it's really expensive for a small farm. But what happened is we got all this local produce. Well, chard and mustard and all that stuff, those greens are really popular in the South. They aren't in California. I made a recipe and this morning he said, these are good. How do we get more of these? And it was mustard. And I was like, well, yeah, because I put onion and bacon in it. We won't talk about that, doctor. The bacon. I said, I do. Yeah. Totally. So you can find it anywhere, but be creative. Like, try something locally. You know, ask your neighbor, ask your friend. Like, food doesn't have to be boring to be healthy. I think it's a misconception. Add those herbs and spices.
Absolutely.
Enjoy it, right?
So you can get fresh ginger.
Ginger is so good for you.
Yeah, it's a ton of stuff.
Hey,
Doc, I also want to thank and chime in on that one element as well. I think one of my sort of pet peeves and the thing I harp on actually is what I do and get paid for. But anyway, it's this idea of this lost sense and this lost sort of value in fellowship and relationships with other Christians. Mm-hmm. I say something that sounds radical and crazy, but it's true. You cannot grow in your faith if you're not in relationships. I mean, really real relationships with people, other Christians, other believers. And same way with health and fitness. I was a fitness instructor. I was a bodybuilding coach. And the thing that I taught and journal people say is constantly, you're not going to make this journey by yourself. Find your partner, find your number of partners who can come alongside you and coach you, encourage you, and challenge you. If you let's say, isolate you, he will keep shoving stuff in you and try to kill you. you need some other people around you. Because I need somebody to tell me once in a while, hey, don't put that crap in your mouth, man. What, why are you eating that?
That's what your wife is for, I'm sure.
Like, good job, Ross.
You know you shouldn't, but somebody when somebody tells you, you go,
where did the peanut crackers go?
it was tough. Oh, go ahead, Steph. Go ahead, Steph.
I actually asked that earlier. So our son made these homemade cookies. They're totally devilish. Yes, health coaches have cookies, but not that often. And he said, did you have a bite? I said, yeah, I had a bite. So then he takes a bite because apparently if I take a bite, he gets it. And he comes back and I'm like, stop it. Don't take the whole cookie because he walks off. It's
I'm dangerous. Bigger than she is. I could have a little bit more
bite. Adam and Eve all over again.
Have a bite. Don't have the whole container.
Well, you know, I like to support folks. It's been kind of tough on me, Doc, because, you know, and I got to confess now, especially with the Thayers listening, but, you know, all these years I've supported the orphanage and all the little orphans back in Pennsylvania at the Hershey orphanage and by buying Hershey's milk chocolate bars. And so I have to stop that now, Ron. I can't have those anymore because they're not good for me. So... anyway, I confess I feel much better now, Jeff. Now,
correct me if I'm wrong. What I heard the doctor say was that if you're in a healthy state, your body can actually respond to these free radicals. So I don't think it's bad that you have a Hershey's bar. It's are you having it all the time? Is that an accurate statement?
That is accurate to a point.
Okay. Now, right. Slippery slope, right?
I mean,
divine point.
You know, I guess, you know, there are basic mental states that we're in as we approach our 70s, 80s, and 90s. I mean, there's thinking, and I saw this the other day, that 90 is going to be the new 40. Well, for 90 to be the new 40, there is going to have to be a revolution of how we live. And how our behaviors have adjusted so that this anti-inflammatory rhythm cannot take a foothold within us. This pro-inflammatory rhythm cannot take a foothold within us. We have to be able to mitigate and increasingly mitigate free radical interferences with an increasingly less capable immune system. So we just have to be able to do that. It's not going to be impossible. There is the possibility that stem cell transplants could change the whole game. But in the meantime, all of those things that we're talking about tonight, the rhythms, the anti-inflammatory rhythms, the social engagement with Christians, being in a loving and caring relationship with another person, these are all invaluable to the anti-inflammatory rhythm that helps us thrive in these situations.
Amen.
Well, folks, we got 3.5 minutes. Let's take some 30-second shots. Anybody want to ask a question? And
well, listen, before
I
want to correct you one thing. I wasn't nominated for a Nobel Peace Prize. I was nominated for a medicine and physiology nominated now in 2018 for my work on the capillary cell pivot and swing dance step rhythm, what we're talking about right now.
Oh, wow.
Close enough.
That's close enough, right? That's awesome.
Well, that was going to be the question. It's like, when will you find out that you've won? Who are you against? And
so that's a great question. Once your hat is in the ring, it's in the ring. And whether they choose to nominate you now in 10 years, or that is for the prize, it just comes down to votes. And my insiders, what I'm seeing from people who interact on my different sites, I'm probably 10 votes short of being nominated.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, you know, I need to talk
Yeah, that's the same thing. We're sure rooting for you, that's for sure. Absolutely. So well, I tell you what, we're going to be signing off, ladies and gentlemen, and we're so glad you tuned in tonight. And Doc, thanks for taking the time to be with us tonight with your patience. And we sure do want to thank you for what you've shared tonight. I've got some notes here. I know we got great notes. And like I said, Paul's working on a series that we're having a book, Doc, and we've got three chapters on you about what you've shared and how you blessed other lives and what that means. So real excited about that. That'll be coming out here, who knows, down the road. I'm hoping for next year on that one. So on behalf of everybody here, you got 30 seconds. Anybody want to say anything to Doc? You all said?
Thank you, Doc.
Yeah, thank you. Blessings to all of you.
Thank you.
Blessings to all of you. And I sure hope you invite me back.
We will.
You
got it. Go to bed on time and get up early.
That's it. Yeah. You got the whole thing you said on there. That's perfect. Yeah. All right.
Made me feel guilty and convicted, thank you anyway. I appreciate you.
Yeah. Okay. Conviction's good. Huh, Rob? We're good. We're good. We got it. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks again for tuning in tonight to Raising Expectations. You're so. And we hope one of your favorite songs will now be I Got Rhythm, I Got Music, I Got Rhythm because I listened to Doc today. Okay. We're doing good. God bless y'all. We'll see you next week. All right. Take care.
Bye bye now.
God bless you guys.
Friends, thanks for joining us on this week's program of Raising Expectations. We profoundly hope you found it engaging and at times humorous, but most of all, uplifting, so that we may, with you, one topic at a time each week, become more encouraged to move forward to an exciting future in, as we always say, this thing called life in America today. So let not your hearts be troubled, your family, finances, faith, freedom. It can be a great future as we talk, listen, respect, and pull together. Please let me hear from you. You can reach me at 972-922-8556. That's 972-922-8556 or Joe Schofield on Facebook or LinkedIn. It'd be a pleasure to know you, and we hope you'll listen in again next week on the BBS Radio Network.